I was just enjoying that song. All right. I want to talk to you this morning. Our last series. That would be terribly wrong, wouldn't it? Last series in church. Everyone go to heaven. That's our last message on the book of Colossians this morning. Thank you for your encouragement about the book of Colossians. I've tried to teach as well as, which is a little bit unusual for me, but I think you've got it. So I'm pleased for you. I'm glad I'm doing my job. So I want to talk about part two this morning of be wise with those outside. We've got some sides coming. Be wise with those outside. And so, there it is. Obviously, the power of God's not on me as much as I'd like. Should we try one more time? Be wise with those outside. No? Okay, well, I'll get on with it then. Colossians 4, 2 to 6, when it comes on, that's great. I hope it does. Colossians 4, 2 to 6 says, continue earnestly in prayer. I'm reading it from the New King James this time. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. I just had a quick look up there and I've lost my place. For which I am also in chains. So Paul's in chains, he's in prison. And he's talking about continuously in prayer and being vigilant and with thanksgiving. And then he goes on to talk about the reason why. Verse 3, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Let's repeat that verse again. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. In other words, we're not to waste our time, not to waste our life. It's important what we do for Christ. Verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So last week we talked about this as well, be wise with those outside. And the best way to do that is to engage in prayer regularly for those outside the kingdom of God. That's got to be something that we are, and I'm going to talk about this through the message. In fact, I've got a great testimony towards the end of the message about what this church has been able to achieve in that respect. I've also said that, you know, it's a war. Remember we had to take our walkie-talkies? Let's do it one more time. You've got to take your walkie-talkie. You've got to put it on. You've got to actually switch it on. And we had that war movie last week. And see, we have opportunity to talk to God and we're in the battlefield. It's a spiritual war. It's not a natural war. And so if we're not praying, it's a lot more difficult for people to come because we're dealing with a spiritual enemy rather than just something in the natural. And so we have opportunities for open doors through our prayers. And those doors open lives to people's, to the gospel, the good news to come in. So be wise with those outside. Be gracious, the Bible says. And allow the individual outside of the kingdom of God to shine when you have conversations with them. And so I want to just pick up again on this Afrio art exhibition. It's not a feel-good event for Christians. It's an opportunity for people to come closer to knowing more about God. It's an opportunity for them to get one step closer to God. It's like a pre-evangelism event. It's something that we are not working hard for, and our staff have been working very hard. They're not working hard for ourselves. It's for those who don't know Christ yet. And so we've got to bring people to Christ. That's the mission of the church, amen? To bring people to Christ, however long or short that journey may be. And so we provide opportunities for them to get a little bit closer to those who already know God. And so I want to talk this morning, first point, about Christian history. Fantastic, there we go. What God has called us to be from the beginning. So I want to talk about Jacob for a moment. In Genesis 35, verse 11, God says to Jacob, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. And God spoke to Jacob and changed his name from Jacob to, some of you will know, Israel. So next time, young people, you can be really smart. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. All right, and there's a significance to that. A real interesting significance. Jacob's definition of his name is holder of the heel, supplanter. You know, he tried to grab hold of his and come out first. He just wanted all the blessings. That's how I look at it. Does that sound a bit like you or me? And I don't think there's that much wrong with that in many ways. But there was a bit of trickery with Jacob and his mum, as we know. A little bit of deceptiveness to get what he wanted. But God still changed his name to Israel because he determined in his own way that he would remain faithful to God. And so Israel's definition of the name Israel is this: may God prevail. And so Jacob struggled with God. God persevered with him. Does that sound like you and I? A little bit, at least. And as a token of blessing, when Jacob was in his 90s, God changed his name to Israel. May God prevail. Say it with me. May God prevail. Good on you, Charlie. Genesis 35:11, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. Stop struggling with me. Stop having complex issues about who you are. You are who I've created you to be, fat, skinny. Whoever you are today, God cares about who you are. No matter what you've been struggling with, he says, just get on with being the person that I've created you to be. I have asked that your descendants be fruitful and multiply. Turn to your neighbor and say, be fruitful and multiply. Some of you that's might be, you know, well, let's just go on. Spiritually speaking, of course. So second, we've talked now about Jacob and Israel. Second, Jesus. All right, so history, let's talk about, we've talked about from the beginning, now we're going to talk about Jesus. It is this same logic that Jesus used with his disciples in the New Testament. Look at this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, he says. All what? Authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Right. And so I am God Almighty, he says to Jacob. All authority has been given to me, he says to his disciples. And God said to Jacob, be fruitful and multiply. And it's the same message for today. Jesus says to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples. The people of God are an evangelizing, persuading, recruiting, missionary people because God is God Almighty and Jesus is the absolute authority in the universe. Second, Christianity is an evangelistic way of life. I just want that to sink in a little minute. Christianity is an evangelistic way of life. So faith in Christ cannot be forced. We're not to be seen as angry, violent, or particularly militant. In John 18:36, in the New King James Version, it says this, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. So we don't need to stand with banners on street corners, turn and burn. Turn or burn, I mean, not and burn. It's turn or burn, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, you get the point. I'm sure we've all seen them. Last time I was in Sydney, I saw this guy. I tell you. Anyway, and I thought, God bless him anyway. Lord, let him find a good home. Let him find a good church. It's not about that, is it? It's about who we are to people. That's going to make the difference. We are to blend. We are to have our point of difference. Who's glad that they're not like the person next to them this morning? Who likes who they are? You should like who you are. Because as a Christian person, you should like who God made you to be. Right? And because, yes, come on. Yeah, it's great, Jess. Come on, we've got any more people saying, yes, I'm glad that God's made me the way I am. That's right. It's awesome. We're in a process of being changed into the likeness of Christ. That can't be a bad thing. And so because Jesus is the absolute authority in this life, rather than ourselves, I have a little story for you. My friend, you're getting to know him quite well, even though he's never stepped foot into this building except for his, well, he has rented the building a couple of times, actually, because he's the boss of a signwriting company. And I don't know if he's ever listened to any of my messages lately, but anyway. My friend at the gym, he's a good guy. Love him to bits. And now he's personal trainer as well. For those of you who don't know, I go to the gymnasium a few times a week, try and keep fit because I'm a pastor, and everywhere I go, I get food offered to me and drinks and all sorts of things. So I've got to go to the gym. And so I dropped a box of chocolates off for the youth Philippines trip to my side rider. And I said, I said to my friend, I'm not going to mention his name, I go, can you pay me now? Just give us the $50. He goes, sure, Nigel, I'll do anything that you like for the whatever you've got coming up. I'll help you. No problems whatsoever. So he said to his PA, hand him the money right now, please. I said, oh, this is awesome. Anyway, he's redone his whole shop. And as you walk in, it's a signwriting company, but it looks more like a hotel. You walk in the front door and there's a big bar. And there's glasses and he's got them all on. And he says, would you like a coffee? I said, I'd love a coffee. And so he sits down and makes me a coffee. And he says, come on in, while we wait for the coffees, I'll introduce you to all the staff. They're all in working on their computers because signwriting is not like it used to be. It's all like on the computer. And so he says, this is the pastor from down the road. Oh, okay, now everybody knows. Hello, how are you? Good to see you. Whereabouts is the church? The PA says, just down the, oh, there, next door, okay. You know what's happening? All that's happening is building a relationship that could eventually end up in that moment where something's going to change in that man's world where he needs a little bit of help from Jesus. I gave him some brochures, both lots. I thought I might as well give you the whole lot. He says, I'm going to put them on the notice board. And he stuck them up on the notice board. They're Frio Christmas and the red ones for the services next week. And I said, your kids would love it. He's got primary school children. He goes, oh, I'm always looking for something for them to do. So I thought, come on. And then right there is a prayer opportunity, right? I'm praying now. I've got something to pray for. If I hadn't had relationship, if I'd been mean and militant, you need Jesus. Come over, he's not quite as big as me. Come on, lift this weight. Well, Jesus is going to get you. You know, we don't act like that. And then before I left, I was only there, 15 minutes. Didn't want to interrupt his day, 15 minutes probably. He goes, have you seen our toilet signs? Did you hear me? Have you seen our toilet signs? Now, he is called the creative sign writer. And so I had to turn around the corner and I had a look. And all I could say is that it was a picture of a man doing number ones, and it was very creative. And then there was a picture of a woman doing number ones, and that was even more creative. And I laughed. And I said, your pastor approves. And the whole office erupted and go, yeah! And I thought, that's awesome! He said, you know, my brother told me off. He says, I can't do that. I thought, but I'm a creative sign writer. And I said, well, I think it's great. Wasn't that bad, really. But he thought it was a bit risque, so he wanted to know what I thought. Just being open, just loving what he's his creativity, that's all. Because God is God Almighty and because Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, there can be no parallel gods. Turn to your neighbor and say, no parallel gods. No parallel faiths. There is one true God and one true Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I mentioned last week my friend had a sore neck. And his neighbor is a Reiki instructor. And she laid hands on him. And so I got talking to the personal instructor and him about, I said, look, it's better to do everything through the name of Jesus. So the personal instructor turns to me and goes, I agree. And I thought, I don't know what, if she's had any religious background whatsoever, never comes to church to my knowledge. And I thought, well, I'm taking this opportunity. And so I talked about how you've got to do things through the name of Jesus Christ. And Darren goes, that's a good idea. You see, I'm getting somewhere with this. Reiki believes that there is a life force energy. And that through laying on of hands, the life force, what is a life force energy? That life force energy actually is either bad or good. And they believe that through laying on of hands that they become good. But there's no Christ in it, so it can't be good, can it? Now, I'm not talking like this, am I, to our friends? But inside I'm praying. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And the theme from the beginning of history until the present day is the same for those who belong to the Lord Jesus. Go and make disciples. And Jesus said just before he entered into heaven, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and be my witnesses. The early disciples had his word in their hearts. They were purposeful in their mission to engage with those outside. As the Father has sent me, I also send you, Jesus said. I send you. I send you. I send every one of you. I send you. With Jesus in our hearts, we are to be a sent people. They took up their cross and laid down their lives to be fruitful and multiply. And the book of Acts remains as a record of some of the things his disciples achieved in being fruitful and multiplied. Acts 2:41, there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Acts 6:1, at this time the disciples were increasing in number. Acts 6:7, the word of God kept on spreading and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly. Acts 16:5, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. And I love this, and I hope we've got the picture for this, guys. Matthew 4:19, this is what Jesus meant when he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. A little bit of fun there, if you can read it. So Christianity is a converting religion. It is evangelistic. It is persuasive, it is expansive, and missionary. It does not use the sword, manipulation, or brainwashing, but it does proclaim, and it does persuade, and plead, and pray. And when we lose the passion to see people won over to Christ, we lose Jesus. And so I want to ask this morning, are you listless in your faith? It's a boating term. Are you listless in your faith? Listless has a couple of meanings, lacking energy or enthusiasm. And it's a boating term, having no wind to fill the sails. And if we become listless, we are no longer blown by the Spirit of God. And if we become listless, we become a bobbing boat dead in the water. No propulsion, we're in danger of shipwrecking our faith. And when these things happen to us, we can go months or even years not even thinking about those who perish all around us. We become dull and we can become spiritually callous. Callous actually in a spiritual sense means heartless, uncaring, cold, unfeeling, stony-hearted. Yet the Bible says, I am God Almighty. Say it with me. I am God Almighty. Seize the moment is what the scriptures are saying to us. It's a command from the Lord because of the authority I've given you. Seize every moment that you have. Be fruitful and multiply. Seize the moment. It's a command. All authority has been given to me. It's a seize the moment opportunity. Go and make disciples. It's a seize the moment command of God. And so three, walk through the open door. Say it with me. Walk through the open door. And Colossians 4:3, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word. God will create opportunities for the gospel to be heard through our prayer. He will open doors for speaking. So Paul and Silas are in prison. He's caused earthquakes in prisons before. And we know of this story because he is God Almighty and what happened. And I want to just go over it again this morning briefly. He's unlocked chains. There's a massive earthquake. Paul and Silas are actually locked up in the bowels of the prison. There's no light. It's dark. It would have been smelly. It would have been water in there. It would have been rats. Wouldn't have been a nice place. Very hard to see anything. God causes an earthquake. What are Paul and Silas doing, by the way? They're worshiping God. They're singing songs and psalms and spiritual songs to God. Wow, isn't it good to have praise on your lips even when you feel like you don't want to? You don't know what God's going to do. You don't know what God might do next. I'm telling you, sometimes it's the power of God that gets us through. I'm glad we have the Lord Jesus Christ as the all-consuming authority in this world. Prison doors are opened. And at that moment, the prison officer, the man in charge, the Roman law says that if the prison doors are opened and the prisoners get free, that they are to be, by the sword, they're killed. Prison, great job. Who'd like that job? Any prison person gets out, it's the end of your life. That's how they worked. And so Paul, knowing this, and he could see that the light was going on, the lantern of the prison officer. And he says, don't do anything, we're here. Thinking that all the prisoners had escaped. And he was literally about to take his own life. And he actually started talking with this prison officer. Long story short, he ends up going to his home, and the whole of his home received the gospel because the doors were opened. There is an amazing ability for God to turn situations around. And I think we've got to be praying. I think we've got to be in worship. I think we've got to be warring against the spiritual forces of darkness, because what the devil tried to do in stopping the work of the gospel going forward in Paul's life and the work of the church, well, God had different ideas. And do you believe God's got bigger ideas than what he has right now? He's got bigger ideas for this church, yeah? He's got bigger ideas for poor care. He's got bigger ideas for who we are in the community. He's got bigger ideas for the different cultures in our church. He's got bigger ideas because he's the all authority. He's from the beginning and he's to the end. There's nothing that can outwit, outsmart, or do anything because he is the Almighty God. And so four, and I'm going to invite Andrew up in a moment because we got this story that I said I was going to talk to you about. I want to say this morning, but just before that happens, it's worth praying for open doors, yes? It's worth praying for open doors. This week, can we pray for open doors? Come on, let's believe. We've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. Let's all get here. Drive the half an hour if you live half an hour away. Let's be here. Let's be warm. Let's be friendly. It's an opportunity for someone to have their door open to their heart. And when those doors open to you, walk through them confidently. Paul actually said it's okay. And he not only saved a man's life, he turned him into a believer and his family. And Paul was asking the church to pray for him in such a way that he would be clear in his speech, courageous in heart and mind. And so forth, as I was saying, the goal. We need the goal, don't we? The goal of praying, speaking and acting on behalf of those outside the house of God is best explained by this proverb. I don't think there's a better verse in the Bible for this particular thing that we're talking about this morning. Proverbs 11:30, and I'm going to read it from the New King James. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The aim of every disciple of Jesus is to win over, take, as in spiritual conflict, go to war for them and bring their soul around from rejecting God to loving God. As ever, however long or short that process is, it's worth continuing with the relationships that you have. And it's worth creating new relationships because you don't know what God may do. And so, I'd like Andrew to come. My daughter's actually at C3 City Campus with Tim and Kira Lee Lowe at the moment, and Andrew's got a short story to show, so we'll put this...
We've got a photo there, guys. Fantastic. You know, as Christians, a lot of us would be terrified at the idea of actually saying to someone, do you want to receive Jesus Christ into your life? A lot of people would find that very overwhelming. But the wonderful thing is that the house of God is a place where people can receive Christ. And so our part as Christians is to just bring people along in their journey from one point to the next point. And so as that time goes by, they can actually come to know God. And that's why the house of God is so important. And our daughter, as Nigel said, is in Sydney at the moment. She's been there for about a month. She walked in the doors at the city campus. C3 Church has a campus in the city in Darlinghurst. And she met this gentleman. His name is Les Banton. A few years ago, Les was a very successful businessman in Perth. He owned many boutiques and he was very wealthy. He then, at the age of 40, for some crazy reason, he decided that he would take some drugs. It's a one-off, just a fun thing to do when you're ridiculously wealthy. Of course, we know what happens is that he became heavily addicted. As a result of that addiction, his wife left him, his marriage fell apart, his children he became estranged from, and he became so heavily addicted to drugs that he began to then supply drugs. He was caught in a sting by the police and he was sentenced to prison. When he came out of prison, one of the things that the charity Port Care does is we take in people that most businesses don't want to know. They don't want to have an offender in there doing voluntary work. But it's something that we've been quite passionate about, is that we believe that every person matters to God. And so if Port Care can provide an opportunity to help people get upskilled and rehabilitated, we want to do that. And so this gentleman, Les Banton, he came to Port Care and he volunteered. Well, he was asked by the staff at Port Care, would he like to come to church? And he said no. But he tells the story to Sarah. He says, but I thought if I was ever going to go to a church, I think I'd like to go to one like C3. Well, then he was able to leave the, finish his parole, and then he moved to Sydney. Well, he landed in the city, in Sydney, and he saw a C3 church, Darlinghurst. He thought, you know what? I don't know anyone. I don't know anything. I'm going to go to that C3 church. He went to that C3 church and he gave his life to Christ. But not only that, he got such a burden for people in prison that he started a prison ministry. And now he's seeing people. He started connect groups in the prison system in Sydney, and now he's seeing people come to Christ. And so he's telling Sarah this story. I'm sorry. He's telling Sarah this story. And she's been there for about 3 weeks, and every time she walks through the doors as she sees him, he gives her a hug, and Sarah says, "It's like I'm royalty." He is so grateful for C3 Church Fremantle that started a charity 15 years ago and believed in people that were offenders. And so I just want to say, we don't know what part of the story we will play in someone's life. It doesn't have to, you don't have to lead them to Christ if that terrifies you. But what you can do is you can gather and you can invite, and God will sow the seed for the time that's right. And so there you go. That's our story. And I think you should be very proud of yourself. C3 Fremantle.
Yeah, come on. Let's give the Lord some praise. Thank you, God. Let me finish this. Daniel 12:3. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky. And those who turn away to righteousness, will shine like stars forever. The goal of the wise, the goal of true wisdom, is to lead people to righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. And the goal of wisdom is to lead people to Christ. Those who win souls is? Walking in wisdom toward outsiders is described by Paul in Thessalonians. This should be your ambition. To live a quiet life, minding your own business, and working with your hands just as we commanded you before as a result. People who are not Christians will respect the way that you live, and you will not need to depend on others to meet your financial needs. And so walking in wisdom means to work hard. If you're not working right now, you're on a journey to actually getting whole enough to be able to work again through the body of Christ. Amen? Like Les. And so walking in wisdom means to be competent. Walking in wisdom means don't meddle with other people's affairs. Walking in wisdom means don't be lazy. Walking in wisdom means don't be dependent on others. You may need for a season to depend on people, but after a while, Christ matures you and you are able to show people the way that God has transformed your life. And so whatever you do, don't give people the argument that Christianity makes people lazy or nosy or incompetent or unproductive. Walking in wisdom means living so as not to bring reproach on the faith. Live right. Come on, let's say it together. Live right and ask the Lord to open doors through your prayer and through the opportunities that present themselves. Father, today, why don't we stand to our feet? Father, today we pray. Help us to be an evangelizing, missionary type people, Father. Help us to have Christ in us that affects those outside us. Maybe you're here today. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Him. God loves you. He cares for you. He died on the cross for you. He has an amazing abundance of grace, unmerited favor. He took that sin and he nailed it on the cross. And all we need do, if we don't know Christ or we need to come back to him today, you're backslidden away from him, is actually pray a prayer and say, Lord, because that's the important part. I want you to be Lord of my life. Will you be Lord of my life? And if you're praying that right now, please be Lord of my life.